plate a potential nugget.
And at the outset, Tom, you say it's a why to do book and less of a how to do book. And you also, I like the distinction you make between two types of knowledge, right? A declarative knowledge and procedural knowledge. You want to shine the light on the distinction here?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I said why to do rather than how to do, because I reading this book will not necessarily, you know, make you a better singer, surfer, drawer, juggler, or maker of things. But I what I really wanted to do is to get people past the initial hurdle that many of us feel as adults in simply trying something new, because of this internal self-talk that, you know, it's not important to our job. We're too old. I might be bad at that thing in front of other people. Why would I want to invite that into my life? So that was sort of the motivation there. And you mentioned procedural and declarative knowledge. And these are interesting things because they sort of speak to the role of skills in our lives and skill learning. And now procedural learning is knowing how to do something. And declarative is knowing about something, knowing the knowledge that you know how to do something. There's a famous case here, which is very interesting, of the amnesiac patient in the United States named H.M., who was mm-hmm. has written about by many psychologists. And he was undergoing some interesting experiments where he was being taught this sort of a motor skills exercise in a lab setting. And he was an amnesiac, so every day he would actually forget the next day that he was learning this thing, but he actually was making improvement in the thing itself. So it just sort of showed that, you know, skills operate in this different part of the brain than the knowledge we have about things. You know, he might have forgotten that he knew how to ride a bike, but he actually could still ride a bike, which is sort of a very odd thing, I think, and just speaks to, you know, skills have this sort of automatic presence in our lives that many of us don't think much about these things, because once you know how to do something well, you stop thinking about it. We don't, if you go for a walk this afternoon, you're not going to look down at your feet and wonder if you're walking correctly or could I walk better, or, you know, it's just you've made that a fully automatic behavior. And if you actually did try to think about it, you'll make it worse.
The Inner Game of Tennis, which I read some time back, which talks a little bit about, not letting your thinking coming in the way of playing.
Yeah, which is a hard lesson, because we're, you know, very analytical as adults and used to we tend to overthink things. And this is one element where being an adult beginner is a little bit more of a challenge, because children will sort of plunge into trying to learn an activity simply by sort of imbibing it and not really knowing what the rules are, often not having a lot of experience with other things like that. For example, you know, learning a language, kids just they do things like babble or they mimic, and they constantly go back and forth with their parents. They're not thinking about grammatical structures. If I tried to learn a language today, I have this entire history of 5 decades of speaking English. So English, my brain is very well tuned for English. If I try to, you know, put another grammar form on top of that, it's going to be very difficult. There's this process of interference, as psychologists call it. So, and there's sort of a vicious cycle that happens here. Once I start struggling with that language, I'll be aware that I'm struggling with it. That will cause embarrassment, tension. I'll really start thinking about how I'm speaking, and then that just makes the whole thing go worse. Yeah, so Galway was right in that, you know, sometimes the key to effective skill learning is to stop thinking and often just try to put your body into this pure sort of autopilot mode. And I had a juggling instructor who used the instructions to be the robot. And the robot was just my hands sort of moving in this robotic fashion and not trying to think that how they were moving, but just to simply move them. And so it sounds, I don't know, sort of counterintuitive, I guess, or something. But it just to bring the point back home, it shows how these processes exist in different parts of our brain, and that even if you forgot that you knew how to do something, you could still actually do it. Speak to the old cliche about riding a bicycle, is that you never forget how, and we really don't.
And you speak about the roles of fluid and crystallized intelligence in the way children and adults learn, Tom. Could you talk a little bit about what these two types of intelligences are, and, you know, therefore, what does it mean in terms of how we think about learning as adults?
Sure. I mean, you know, fluid intelligence is this sort of, you know, rapid fire, quick, you know, sort of puzzle solving intelligence, you know, solving problems very quickly, spotting things. To use the game of chess as an example, my daughter was very good at spotting potential checkmates, you know, playing very well in blitz games, which are 5 minutes per player, because, you know, her brain was just operating very quickly. You know, crystallized intelligence refers more to these things that are built up over time, like wisdom and metacognition. And what the way it sort of looks in the human brain is that the adult brain draws on sort of a wider area of the brain in cognition than the young brain does. And this comes at a certain cost. We have sort of have to work harder to achieve the same result, but it also gives us a certain larger sense of bandwidth. And in everyday life, this exhibits itself in things like, you know, wisdom. So in the game of chess, she would be good at those other things I mentioned, quick puzzle solving, things like that. But I would have an edge in, let's say, the slower. To think of Daniel, the psychologist Daniel Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow. So fluid is the thinking fast, crystallized is the thinking slow. And there are many moments in the game of chess when you want to think slow. You might want to think about, you know, your strategy. You might want to think about, does this game remind you of another game you saw? Having the patience to, another thing is, my daughter was always guilty of not doing in the beginning, was she would play her game as if she were playing by herself, basically never thinking why the opponent was doing what they were doing. And this is something that as adults, you know, I think we have more of a sixth sense here of, you know, sort of looking out for things like that. You know, okay, he just moved his queen there. Why did he do that? That's sort of the, and it sort of breaks down that adults are sort of more oriented toward the crystallized wisdom and children, the fluid, although we, of course, both sets of people have both of those capacities. But
this reminds me of the podcast conversation I had with the chess legend Vishy Anand. We spoke about how he unlocks the power of the left brain and the right brain where he trains, and he gave us a masterclass. He touches upon some of the themes that Tom speaks about.
How much of the meticulous planning gets coupled with sort of the pattern and the big picture thinking, which might be beyond the left brain capability?
Well, let me follow this rough terminology. My left brain is trying to have some sort of piece of control on the chessboard.
Right.
And my right brain is, let's say, what to deal with when you lose control. So, I mean, I will describe it in those terms. So, I don't consciously break it down in that way, but mostly chess players would prefer to win an easy game than a hard game, would prefer to win without effort than effort, or rather, would, to put it differently, would prefer that the effort was at home in the training camp rather than at the board with the uncertainty involved. So, everything which will fall under control, you will think of with the left. By that, I mean things which are already well known to everyone. I mean, there's this huge mass of knowledge that already exists about chess. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to work on that and then recall what you need at the moment that you need it. I mean, there are so many examples of people losing a game because they know the evaluation correctly. They may even know the idea, but they don't know it exactly. Mm. And if you don't know it exactly, it's very difficult. You might slip up in the execution. So that that broadly speaks of control. So when you play against someone, you would like the game to develop along the lines of what you prepared this morning. And so that is the systematic work. That's the work you work on during a training camp. You try to get the work out of the way. You check as much things meticulously and so on. But you should always be ready because you're basically playing against someone who's trying to get you out there in the open. He's trying to get you out of your comfort zone and he's trying to make life difficult for you. And so he has the same knowledge that you have. So it's very easy for your opponent to think, this is what Anand would have prepared. How do I get him out? And so he's looking for unusual ways to surprise you.
Sort of game theory, right? In a way.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if he does that, you should be ready for surprises.
Right.
Now that means that when you learn a subject, even any part of chess that you plan to use for the next round or the next week or whatever, it's not enough to just remember the or get a grip on the existing knowledge, because everyone has that. That doesn't differentiate you. Chances are you'll be dropped very soon into something which you hadn't looked at before. How do you deal with those problems? So the thing is, when you work, you can't only work on problems that lend themselves to solutions.
Got it.
You have to think more broadly and think, how do I train my skills in such a way that I can I develop a feeling for this class of positions so that whatever turns up, I'll be able to find the best moves. So you have to do a bit of both. For the second skill, for the right brain, what do you do? You play a lot of 5-minute games, blitz games. You do problem solving. Problem solving is they are trying to find very unusual patterns. And the more unusual patterns you find, you're training your brain to think in unusual ways. So again, when you look at a position, how many candidate moves do you think of? If you normally think of 3, but after some problem-solving training, you're able to think of 5, that's very healthy because you'll pick up more unusual moves.
Understood.
So you have to balance your work in such a way that not only are you getting the proper work done, which is essential, by the way. The existing base of knowledge you have to learn to play and you have to learn to play it well. But you also have to train the skills that you'll need to just cope with unexpected circumstances. And last but not least, the psychological aspect. There is no use having all the creative skills in the world if when the moment comes that you have to go into the unknown, you enter it with trepidation. Because then you've lost half the battle before it's there. It's not utterly hopeless because still, if the position turns in your favor, you'll recover and whatever. But you must be psychologically ready for battle. That means the moment you have a chance to break free from the known areas and you go out there and you fight, you have to be ready and enthusiastic, if you like, about facing this unknown challenge.
To listen to this nugget, please go to playtopotential.com. You will find Vishwanathan Anand in the guest section. Within that, you will find the nugget Understanding the Processor Inside. A piece of random trivia. We have more than 750 nuggets at the podcast so far across 75 plus guests. This is the longest nugget by a mile. It's about 25 odd minutes, while the average nugget at the podcast is around 5 to 10 minutes. It's just that there was just so much gold in it. It didn't make sense to cut it down. Thank you for listening.